Welcome to the closing session. My job is, as I've tried to do in the past, to send you home singing. This will be the last thing you think of, and I hope that it makes you happy. So let's start a little meta, if we might. So the first thing I feel I must do is I must sort of identify my qualifications as a comic book expert to you, just so you feel good about this. The big donut, really. I would say that I grew up reading comic books, but then at a certain point in time, I don't think that I could say that I kept up with it. And you'll see why that's a bit of a problem. What I have done is, for the last 25, now approaching 26 years of my life, been a sysadmin. And in the last 10 or so, I've been trying to see what I could do to find other stuff around the realms that are not system administration that we could bring into system administration to make it cooler, interesting, more interesting. Could we improve system administration by looking at various topics? And so I've talked to a number of people and done a bunch of talks about things like veterinarians and sex therapists. The last time I did it, I had the pleasure of cooking on stage with Lee Damon. That was a blast. And I'm hoping that this will be another good talk for you guys. So one thing that's kind of important for me to ask before I go much further is I kind of want to understand what your qualifications are as comic book experts, because that will help a bit. So how many people in this room think of themselves, there's an interesting echo here, how many people in this room think of themselves as really knowledgeable when it comes to comic books, graphic novels, et cetera? I mean, like, they still collect stuff, they still have a bunch of stuff. Okay, so look around. Go ahead, raise your hand. It's fine. It's not like I'm asking, do you have small genitalia? It's okay. Raise your hand higher. Okay, so what I want you to do is notice these people, because these are the people that I want you to go find each other after the talk and go, oh, man, I can't believe you said Uncanny X-Men 102 when it was 103. I mean, yeesh. Okay, so they will form your support group after this. So that you can find out, just all the things that I got wrong, because I'm not that expert. What I am is someone who's done sysadmin for a while and tried to use that knowledge to plumb the depths of other things. I also want to, by the way, before I forget, welcome all the Chimit people here, or Chaimit if you're from Israel, to hear, and hope you'll enjoy. So the problem with this particular talk is that my usual process for writing talks failed, and it failed miserably. What I usually like to do when I'm doing these talks is I spend a lot of time in the initial part trying to look at all the literature I can, trying to talk to all the people I can, trying to catch up on all the reading and all the literature associated with stuff. And so I said, okay, it's been a little while. I haven't read a lot of comic books since. I've read some graphic novels. We'll leave things like Mouse aside. So why don't I just go catch up on what's going on in the realm of comic books? Why don't I find out what's going on with, my favorite things, Flash and X-Men and stuff like that? And then I realized, congratulations, you're now about to drink an ocean. Because if you think, let me give you an example of this. I talked to the person who is probably the single greatest, largest, whatever you would call it, collector of X-Men comics in North America. His name is Eric. He lives in Des Moines, Iowa, I think. He and I spent an hour and a half on the phone just talking X-Men. But the thing is that, like, as soon as he would start to tell me something in X-Men, he'd go, oh, but then in this cross story, blah, 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 blah. Oh, and then they restarted this character, and then they did this, and then they did that. And I realized at the end, when my head was spinning, and we were talking matter-of-factly about, does Cyclops, sleep with such and such, like as if it was all the real world. And I was trying to lose my sense of what the real world was at that point, because it sounded so matter-of-fact about this stuff, that there's just too much stuff in the land of comics to really do anything except maybe say, cherry pick some examples and find the other people who know more about comics and ask them, give me another example of this sort of stuff. So this is going to be highly subjective. If I had another 4 years of my life to start reading more comics, and I probably will at this point, I would do this. Now, the drowning thing is apt here. I'm going to take a step back and do a quick aside from this talk because I think it's so important. How many people in this room have kids? Yeah, look at that. Okay, so here's the thing. Let me tell you something about drowning, okay? We're going to do two slides on just drowning, okay? Here's the thing that you got to know, and there's a lovely URL down here you guys should all read, and even those people who don't have kids should read this. It turns out that drowning doesn't look anything like drowning, Okay? People that are in the midst who are actually really honestly truly drowning. And if this is the only thing you listen to for the entire talk and then you walk out of here and you can't remember a single thing, remember what I'm about to tell you now, which is drowning doesn't look like drowning. Because when you're in the midst of drowning, you can't call for help, you can't really swim, you can't wave for help. And you've got about 20 to 60 seconds before somebody drowns. And there's some 700 to 800 kids that die every year from drowning in the U.S., and a good 10% of them, it's been conjectured, drowned because people couldn't recognize what drowning looked like. Drowning does not look like the waving and stuff like that. So here's the thing I want to tell you. There are other signs of drowning, like, you know, head low in the water, eyes closed, stuff like that, ladder climb, trying to roll over on your back, stuff like that. And the other thing to mention is children in the water make a lot of noise. When they get quiet, get to them and find out why. So that's my serious part of the talk. And I just want to tell you this is all true and important, and know it. Drowning does not look like drowning. So if you think you see someone who's drowning, they might be in distress, but they're probably not drowning. If you see someone who doesn't look like they're drowning, get to them quickly. You get about 30 seconds. Okay, here's the premise of the talk. My opinion is, and I've had some discussion in other workshops and stuff like that, that right now, system administrators are starting, and whatever you want to call them, are starting to be in positions of power where they are having more and more vested power, more and more power is vested in them. As things like social networking, Facebook, et cetera, stuff like that grow, and as it become greater and greater parts of people's lives, and as all this other technology that you guys run are parts of people's lives, you have greater and greater power. And greater power over more people, over larger things, over you know, nations and stuff like that. And I'm not saying that once upon a time when the mainframe wasn't spitting out paychecks or there was a problem with paychecks on the mainframe, that wasn't a lot of power. But I think that you can accurately say that with all the stuff, and we had some talks at Lisa about this, going on now, that it's the people in this room that have a lot of power. Now, with all this stuff that is being vested in us, do we have any idea how to deal with that situation? And if we don't, who does? So I said, well, where can we find examples where power is a central theme? What can we look towards? And it came to me that comic books, especially, you know, I'm going to keep to sort of the American comic book realm because that's what I know best, is a place where for about the last 80 years, stuff about power has been discussed. Over and over and over again, it has been rehashed, all these scenarios, all this other stuff going on. So that's the premise, okay? But I think it's equally important to ask, why do you care? Why do you want to listen to me now at all? What interests you at all besides the fact this is what you have to do before you're going to go catch your plane? Why are you going to pay attention to me? Here's some examples. Los Angeles Times, Google fires employee for snooping on users. TechCrunch, Google confirms that it fired engineer for breaking internal privacy policies. Google canned snooping employee again. This is the second time a Google engineer has been fired for accessing user data. Here's a picture of him. G-Creep Google engineer stalked teens, spied on chats. And just so you don't think I'm picking only on Google, purported interview with Facebook employee details use of master password. Okay? So it's not just the, you know, like this is going on where people who are vested in the largest places are doing not good stuff. And so I want to see if I can help you with some of that stuff. Okay, and here's another example. This is, I'm sorry it's so dark, but it was a pretty grim report, I guess. Verizon 2010 Payment Card Industry Compliance Report, which is really great. I'd wait for the movie, but it's still pretty good. In this report, they tried to break down in the previous years break-ins, for example. Where were the break-ins? So so they come up with this really lovely table that is called Top Threat Actions Based on 2008 to 2009 Payment Card Breaches Investigated by Verizon's IR Team. Now, 17% of them were due to abusive system access and privileges. So I don't know how many of you, can you raise your hand if you've had your credit card swapped out because MasterCard decided it was no longer safe? Yeah, me too, 4 times at this point, for some reason. I guess I'm not safe at all, but 17% of those, yes, sir? Call Verizon, is what I'd suggest if it doesn't add. And ask them and see what happens. That's a good point. I didn't bother to add. But I still think this number is still a good number to point at. So I'm pointing at it. So 70% of those, perchance, you know, was associated with this. Now, I have another meta thing that I need to say also. So I'm going to play a small piece of something. About 11 seconds in, sorry, there is a little tiny whoop noise of one of the other musicians making a noise. Distortion. Maybe you caught it, maybe you didn't. So this is Ornette Coleman, in case you're curious, his famous song, Lonely Woman. It's a lovely thing. What I'm playing this for is that I want to point out that I'm going to be giving examples throughout this talk from various comic books. And I'm going to be showing you very, 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 very small snippets of stuff for fair use and other reasons, and just to keep the talk slow rather than reading it to you. I feel sort of about showing you some of the amazing artwork and some of the amazing talents that I'm going to be showing you in such small snippets as much as I feel about giving you just like 11 seconds of Ornette Coleman. Okay, you can't really necessarily appreciate it from my talk, and I have deep and enduring appreciation for all the artists that I'm going to be talking about here, or most of them. You'll see why I say that. So I just want to apologize to those artists if any of them watch this in advance. The other thing I want to say, and here's the other meta thing. I have, over the years, decided I could be very, very, very clear all the time and just keep on rubbing your nose in it like a puppy, the analogies that I'm making between stuff in the material I'm talking about and system administration. For this talk, I'm going to be a little bit more laissez-faire about that and let you draw your own connections, okay? And if you're having problems with that, as they say in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the secret is to bang the rocks together, guys, okay? Okay, so let's start off with the question of what is a superhero, because I feel that's an important place to start. And what I really need to do is hear from you. Can somebody be so kind as to yell out to the best of your ability, or hit the mics if you want, what you think a superhero is? I need a definition of how you know a superhero when you see one.
Powers.
Say again?
Superpowers.
Superpowers. Okay, what else?
For good.
Wait. Maybe we'll do hands. Sorry. Yeah, Dan.
For good.
For good. Excellent.
A cape.
A cape. Excellent.
Wait.
Say again. No cape?
Darling.
Excelsior,
yes. Good. Thank you, Stan Lee. Say again. Fights crime.
Underpants on the outside.
What on the, sorry, say it again, please.
Underpants on the outside.
Well, so much for that. Then I don't know what excuse I got. Okay. Ah, or her she is, absolutely. Nobody, right? Secret identity. Anything else? Want to give me one? Invisible? Maybe. What? Has a six-pack? You mean a beer, or you mean like a...
Yes.
More? You think you know?
Goes above and beyond.
That's excellent. Yep.
He does things, or she does things that are very dangerous.
Does things dangerous. Yep. Right, only call for when something goes very wrong. These are really good. I like these. Let me give you my own. So one more. Sure, go ahead.
Has a critical fault.
Yeah, that turned out to be more true later. No, I mean, seriously, like in the game, if you study, I read a lot about comic books. If you study comic books, the notion of adding a critical fault came in a little bit later on in the genre, and people like, and publishing houses like Marvel were well known for that being their one of their signatures. Okay, so let me give you some of my indicators just for fun. And we hit some of these. I think we hit most of these, in fact. Looks different. You didn't say anything about hyphenated or compound names, often ending in man, woman, or boy, girl, like Blank Edelman. Sorry. You know, if you got to come out to an entire crowd, this would be the one to come out to. Powers and abilities far beyond those of ordinary mortals. They pursue justice. They defend the defenseless, and they overcome evil. And here's another important part: to be a superhero, you must choose to be good. The fact that you have superpowers but sit around the house drinking beer all day does not make for a good comic book. Really? I'm sorry. Okay, but the thing that's also kind of strange about this is that the very term superhero is a little oxymoronic. And here's what I mean by that. So if, let's say, Superman can't be harmed by bullets, is it heroic for Superman to go step in front of somebody shooting? Not particularly, right? Where's the heroism in that? Okay, so that's where it gets a little interesting when you start talking about superheroes. And keep hold, watch some of these contradictions, because they're going to be interesting here. But you know what what heroes are, but are superheroes heroes? I don't know. Okay, so so we can do a quick check, just so I know. Yes,
hello. You have to have a nemesis.
You have to have a nemesis. That doesn't hurt either. I agree with that. I mean, I have to have a nemesis. Wait, let me just check on this.
Okay.
You're so kind, Tom. You're so kind to offer to be my nemesis. Okay, this is a crowd. So my question for you is, let's do a quick check. I want to know whether you think these people... So nobody here says had to have a comic book, right? That's kind of strange that you didn't say have to have a comic book. Do you think that's a reasonable definition? Like, if you're a superhero, you really people write about you? And if that's true, would you say that Nancy Pelosi is in fact a superhero? Or more precisely, Super Grover? How many people think Super Grover is a superhero? Yeah, absolutely. And I want to point out that this is actually a picture of Super Grover 2.0 is what they're now calling him. Yes, I'm not making that up. It's a new costume change and stuff like that. So let's talk about super. Let's get into the land of superpowers, because superpowers are ultimately what I have to be talking a little bit about to get really into this stuff. So let's start off with the question of Shazam, because I think that's a good start. Does anybody in this room know, how many people in this room know that Shazam is an acronym? Yes, very good. Let's pick somebody. Who in this room knows what Shazam stands? How many people didn't know that Shazam was an acronym? Let's try that. Wow, the vast majority. Well, here, you're getting something from this talk already. Isn't this great? Take it back to your workplace. Amaze your friends and your colleagues. Okay, somebody here who thinks they know what Shazam stands for, where's it from? Can you do it? No, and nobody wants to come forward? You know the first two? Okay, help us.
So, Wisdom of Solomon and the Strength of Hercules.
Excellent. Anyone know the next? Do I have to put it up here to help you?
Yes.
Okay. Hercules, strength. Atlas provides stamina, which I don't blame you for forgetting. Zeus for power. Achilles for courage. And Mercury provides speed. So in case you're curious, so I think that's a lovely initial set of superpowers, don't you? Now, the question you might ask is, are there any other superpowers besides those? Well, if you go to Wikipedia, there's a lovely list there. So I'm gonna read some of them here. Bone manipulation, echolocation, invisibility, superhuman durability, sonic scream, prehensile animated hair, merging, pheromone manipulation. Did you know that? Kinetic absorption. Oh, I'm sorry. The list goes on. Superhero vision, wall crawling, water breathing, omnilinguism, which sounds problematic, omniscience, telepathy, psychometry, empathy. Empathy sounds like a superpower, right? Certainly my spouse would think so. Not one I possess, perhaps. Astral projection, superhuman track. Oh, I'm sorry, there's another list. Mind control, possession, psionic blast, which I can do if I want to, so be nice. Density control, I don't know what that means. I guess density of atoms. Disintegration, elemental transmutation, gravity manipulation, reality warping, radiation manipulation, probability manipulation. I like that one actually a lot. Mass manipulation, magnetism, anyway. Oh, I'm sorry, did I mention there's another list? Plant manipulation, summoning, omnipresence, force field generation, water and moisture manipulation. Damn, I only wish it... Where's the do? We need the do man. concussion beams, energy blast, cosmic energy control, time travel, cold and ice manipulation, and I'm sorry, there's even more. So, I don't know. Can I stop now? Molecular manipulation, inorganic... size shifting, some of it... There's a lot there, okay? So I just want to point out to you that if you think that you've thought of all the superpowers that are possible, well, boy howdy, think again. And if there's some that I didn't put there, go to Wikipedia immediately and add them. That's what I'd suggest. Okay. You notice that sysadminism isn't there or something. Okay, so what are the methods that people generally use for superpowers? You know, how do superpowers actually get used? Or where do they come from, I guess is what I would say. So the first one is some people can source energy. They can take energy that's over there and all the energy of the universe and direct it somewhere else. The martial artists often mess around with chi. Look what I can do with my chi. Magical powers, you can probably guess that one. Telekinesis, and the one I like the most, really, is technopathy. honest to goodness, this is considered a method. And you, technopaths, did you know that they existed? This is a lovely term. I think it should show up in the next three papers that get written for Lisa. Are those people who can manipulate technology. They can make computers do what they want. They can, see, this is why we're getting close to sysadmins. I'm sorry, I said I wouldn't point out this stuff to you, but here's an example of sysadmin stuff, right? You know, they can manipulate any technology that's around them. And in fact, one example of them that I'd never heard of, but I like a lot, is the drummer, whose first name is The, second name Drummer. This is in the book Planetary by Warren Ellis, who's fabulous, and John Cassidy. And he can, somehow using drumsticks, manipulate any computer, anything you want, anything technological. It's kind of cool. So, okay. Now, I think something that's even more interesting from a sysadmin perspective is the superheroes who can do things to powers. Not to things, but to other powers. And to my mind, this is closer to what sysadmins can do and closer to what I feel, if I had any superpowers, I would be able to do when I'm sitting down with my staff or my students or stuff like that. So one is power augmentation. I can pump up somebody else's power. Okay, and you can imagine that you can too, quite frankly, if you sit down next to the right people. There's power bestowal, which sounds a little too powerful to me, you know, to give people superpowers. Power mimicry or absorption, that's not so much. Maybe it is the case that I sit down next to someone and they go, oh, I don't know, I forgot how to do this now. Power negation, well, that certainly happens. And power sensing, can you tell the people with superpowers? So now, I want to point out that not all superpowers are, quite frankly, as super as others. And so let's have a little discussion about that, if we might. Okay? Here's an example.
You know, I was reading this old questionnaire when I was little, and it asked us if we could have the powers of any superhero, who would it be?
Yeah.
You know, had like the ABC, you know, Superman, uh-huh. The Green Lantern, and I'll never forget this. C was Aquaman. Now, who's going to pick C, Doc? Who would want to be Aquaman? I mean, the powers are only good underwater. What can you do underwater? Okay, I could see you. You're swimming underwater, that's nice, and you can breathe underwater. Okay, that gets a little boring after a while. But then he can talk to the fish. What the hell would you want to say to a fish, Doc? You know, Aquaman swimming around. Hi, fish. Hi, Aquaman. Have you seen anything unusual under the water? Hi, Aquaman.
And so other examples, so I want to stay in this theme for a little while because I think it's important to recognize that some are better than others. So there was a lovely This American Life episode that was aired in 2001, you can still get it online, about superpowers. And in it, there was a whole segment, and I want to do this test because I'm interested, in which John Hodgman talks about polling everybody he knew about whether, if they had a choice between the power of flight or the power of invisibility, which one they would choose and why. So I would like to just find out in this room, because I think it's an interesting indicator, what's the case. How many people in this room, and you can only raise your hand for one, please, would prefer the power of flight, the ability to fly? Okay. How many people in this room would prefer the power of invisibility? So it's about even, right? Anybody want to speak to one of the two powers and why? Please, wait, sorry. Not the power to blurt, because that's not going to be a problem. Yes, go ahead.
Invisibility to hide from users.
You know, anyway, I have something to say about that. Tom, would you please bludgeon him afterwards? Okay, yeah.
Invisibility because I can buy an airplane and fly.
Okay. Somebody want to speak to the power of flight? Somebody who raised their hand, why would you want to fly? Oh, come on. Admit to it. Yeah. Say what?
I dream more about flight.
Dream time? Because you dream about it. What else? Someone else? Yeah. You would never have to go through security again. Yeah, you know. Say again? Yeah, I get, well.
Does flying 5 miles count the same as a hike?
Does flying 5 miles count the same as a hike? So this is the thing. You guys have to all go listen to this segment because people have very different reasons as to what flying versus invisibility means. It's kind of a cool thing, and I recommend you check it out. It's kind of cool. And you can pay, I think it's a buck to download it from iTunes. Now, also on this segment is a lovely segment on Jonathan Morrison's Less Than Great Superheroes, which come from a great blog that if you haven't read before called goneandforgotten.blogspot.com. It's fabulous, and it's worthwhile checking out. So I want to show you some of the superheroes that I particularly appreciate for how bad they are, if that's okay with you. Now, you probably know something about Captain Marvel. But there was a company that chose to take the names of the people that you know, and this was back, you know, back in the day, and make their own version of those names. They would just use the same names. So it turns out that Captain Marvel from this company had the ability to split, to actually split, and all of his arms and legs would fly off, and then do something, and then he could say Zim, and they would all fly back, which I guess is important. So anyway, I like this a lot. If you want, so some of the ones I'm going to take from now are from these two URLs about more superpowers that I like. For example, there's the Color Kid. The Color Kid can change the color of anything, which I think is a very important thing. The Color Kid used to do this to change the color of the sky and the ground to confuse his enemies as to whether they were flying or not. Equally interesting is Bouncing Boy. Does anybody here remember Bouncing Boy and what Bouncing Boy's superpowers were? What were Bouncing Boy's superpowers?
Basically, that he could bounce.
Yeah, that he was a ball. He could basically inflate himself and become a ball, which was useful because other people would throw him and stuff like that. Equally good to me, in my mind, is Squirrel Girl. And I like Squirrel Girl so much, I'm going to read to you the Wikipedia description of Squirrel Girl. Squirrel Girl is a mutant and evinces a variety of mutations which align with the squirrel theme. During her first encounter with Iron Man, she provided a detailed demonstration of her powers and abilities, a furry prehensile tail, you can probably guess that, sizable buck teeth, which can chew through wood, agility and strength, enabling her to jump from tree to tree. She has sharp claws on her things. She has knuckle spikes. Most importantly, she's capable of communicating with and understanding squirrels. Squirrel Girl does not communicate with the squirrels telepathically. Rather, she has an understanding of their language and ability to speak it later. Apparently, also in this comic book, it turns out that her lips taste like hazelnuts. She carries with her, I don't know if you noticed, you can't really see it as well up there, she has a utility belt which she carries nuts for her squirrel friends, which they refer to as her nut sacks in this material. To much comic, much tiddly, you know, tee-hee-heeing went on in all the, you know, the teenage boys, you know. So, okay. Here's another one. I love Squirrel Girl. And here's the thing that's wild about this. Squirrel Girl has, in fact, been in a number of comic books in which she wins. And she wins against serious enemies because she's smart or funny or something like this. And one of them is Thanatos, which is like the god of death. So, not lest you mess with Squirrel Girl, that's all I got to say. Okay, here's another one I like. This is Matter. Let's see, I'm going to read this to you because I'm not quite sure how easy it is. So it says, and as Matter Eater Lad and Blockade Boy obey the order, I can't take this any longer. I'm going to make a break. Are you with me, Blockade Boy? Well, my powers of changing myself into a steel wall can't get us out, but I'm with you. And Matter Lad then proceeds. So do you know what Matter Lad can do? Have you figured it out by now? Matter Lad can basically eat anything, which is pretty good. And, you know, they escape thanks to Matter Lad. And then they run, and Blockade Boy runs. And Blockade Boy has a great superpower. But if you could eat anything, you know, I actually know people like this, come to think of it. Okay, here's my last one, which makes me so happy, and I don't know why, because it's so, so nuts. This is the Red Bee. So here, I'm going to try to read this to you. So it says, I've heard of your work, Mr. Red Bee, but it ends right here. Maybe. Stealthily, the Red Bee opens a catch in his belt and releases a bee. Ow, a bee stung me. You're number one on the hit parade. So basically, the Red Bee had a trained bee. As a superpower. I presumably can train other ones. Anyway, if you want to emulate some superhero, this is the one you should emulate, in my opinion. Okay. So back to the race. So go find, and by the way, this is all lovely because this is like Golden Age comics. So this is all freely available. Happily download it, you know, and enjoy it. Okay, so I want to have a next section, which is I started to say, okay, so superpowers are interesting. How do people figure out whether they have superpowers, and how do they develop them? Because that was kind of the question for sysadmins too. So there's certainly a set of superpowers that people get from birth. right? They're born with it or from childhood. And typically, the people that get this sort of stuff, this happens to be the Legion of Superheroes, which we can talk about later if you want. They all came from a planet where everyone has superpowers. And that's a pretty cool comic, this particular one here, one of the seminal ones where Superboy shows up, I think, maybe even for the first time, if I remember correctly. And so the people that grow up with their superpowers are typically the ones that are the most facile because they've been doing it all their life. And Superboy counts, you know, he's been juggling battleships all his life, stuff like that. But the tricky thing about those is you have a situation like this. And so I'm not going to read all of this, but this is a situation that says years pass, the baby grows into young boyhood. And you can see he can now lift stuff. And he can leap with ease over buildings. This is fun. Outrun the swiftest denizen of the forest, let somebody who can run, and perform 1,000 other startling feats. But Superboy thinks, I can't let people know how different I am. I'll just have to hold myself in check and go along like all the other kids. And in fact, this particular comic book ends with, and later in Clark Kent's room, super strength, it's a little frightening. My powers give me the chance to do a lot of good, but I can't let people know that Clark Kent can do these things. The knowledge might be dangerous, so he makes a costume. So that's kind of the interesting, that's one of the trade-offs that you tend to see in these situations when people grow up with superpowers, is they get to hide it for the entirety of their childhood, or at least for a large part of it. Interesting thing. Now, that's not by far the most common development of powers and discovery of powers does not actually happen from birth. Mostly, you have things like puberty and other traumatic events that go on. There's some sort of trauma that goes on, and all of a sudden, they discover they have powers. And the canonical version of this is, of course, the X-Men and all the 14 different X-Men storylines that you can possibly imagine, because many of the mutants discover their mutantness. Yeah, I guess that's right, at puberty. Now, some people have speculated this says something interesting about the audience that is reading these comic books, but we'll leave it there. So that's actually fairly common. The others often get something which I like to call sudden adult onset, where all of a sudden they are vested with some superpower for some reason. And usually that involves some traumatic event. Either they have some sort of accident, they get a bunch of chemicals dumped on them, that happens all the time, radiation, they somehow are exposed to radiation, which tells you a little bit about what people were thinking about at the time when a lot of this stuff was written, and ideally, if you can, you add a little dash of nature. They had chemicals dumped on them and a lightning bolt came around. They had a spider that was radioactive bite them, right? So nature in itself is also considered a scary and interesting thing. And the other possibility where you find people developing powers, and this is a little tricky because I'm not going to suggest you as sysadmins attempt any of this. Yeah, I know. I mean, go back to a research lab, dump a bunch of chemicals on you, see if you get superpowers, but don't say I told you to do that. Okay? And, you know, with lightning stuff. The other possibility, quite frankly, is you can also find a cool object to give you superpowers. An example of that might be Thor's hammer, right? So that's another way that people often get sudden onset of powers, is either they make stuff or they find stuff that gives it to them. Now, another possibility is working really hard to have a superpower. And the canonical version of working really hard to get superpowers is... That is very quiet. Are you very quiet today? Let's hear that again. Yeah, I've always wanted to make an entire room of people yell Batman, so that was really good. So Batman is the canonical example of somebody who doesn't have any superpowers but has some sort of traumatic event. He sees his parents killed in front of him and vows to right wrongs and stuff like that, and so spends all of his time at the gym. And when he's not at the gym, he's getting 14 different master's degrees, which sounds a little bit like some grad students I know, but they're not so super. I want to point that out. And studies criminology, blah 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 blah, and is always making himself better. You know, like he started to do that. And another example of that, quite frankly, is also, anyone know this comic? Daredevil. Yeah. So Daredevil is this example of somebody who actually started out as having, you know, spent his life training as an acrobat and stuff like that, and then later on decide to devote his not-so-superpowers to good. So this is kind of strange. What's interesting, of course, about the Batman and the Daredevil example, and I'm going to give you another set of examples, like these two, this you can't barely see it, this is Hawkeye and Green Arrow, is these are cases where we're talking superheroes without superpowers. They worked really hard, but they don't endemically have superpowers. And I think that's they're interesting examples for us to pay attention to, because I haven't found Thor's hammer so much, nor have I had chemicals dumped on me lately. Now, another possibility is you can start to upgrade what you already have. And, of course, an example of that is Iron Man. Okay. So Iron Man is this character that starts out as someone who has actually a lot of power in the world because he's part of he's an industrial military complex, but then finds that to keep himself alive, he has a nuclear reactor instead of a heart, blah, 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 blah. But he is always sort of, the character things that go on are all of a sudden he was tinkering in his lab and he gave himself this superpower. And he was tinkering in his lab and he gave himself more and more and more and stuff like that. And so that's an example of upgrade. From what you have. And there are also other examples out there where some people have a superpower like Iceman, where they can throw snowballs, and then later on they get more and more as they discover new things about their superpower. But another good canonical example of, and I hate to bring this person back into this, of upgrading your superpowers is Batman, right? So Batman has yours and my favorite thing, the Batman utility belt. Right, and is always spending a lot of time, though you don't ever know when, getting new things for Batman's utility belt. Okay, but it's not just the utility belt for Batman. Batman is about a lot of other things. For example,
Guadalcanal, Batman. What now?
What now? Why, everything's new as Batman and Robin's battles climb with a battery of wonderful new Batnovations. The Batcopter, the Batboat, the Batcycle, and Flash, a late bulletin from the Cape.
3, 2, 1.
The Bat Rocket blasting off. See the dynamic duo dangle from new heights of danger.
Careful, Robin, it's quite a drop.
See them batter their way through new bat ventures with old friends. Correction, fiends.
Holy dark ten.
I'm not just pussyfooting around this time, Batman.
Meet their wild, weird new batversaries, the archest criminals of all crime. Be with Batman and Robin weekly, in color, of course.
Yeah, so, you know. So Batman is always getting bat this, bat the other thing, bat-rang, stuff like that, especially in this show. There's a whole documentary called Batmania about this show that would be worth your while to watch. It's kind of fun to see that sort of stuff. So that's one way to sort of work on increasing your powers. I want to bring up another one that is, you know, coming into vogue thanks to organizations like LAPSA, which is sort of mentors. What you can see, because it's a little dark here, is this is a lovely comic book called Astro City, which if you haven't heard of, you really should, and I'll be mentioning it later. It's just really, really, really fabulous on a lot of levels. And I'll talk about what it is in a moment. But in this particular issue of this, there's a mentoring situation where there's the superhero is Confessor, and Confessor takes on a protege called, dare I say, Altar Boy, which is laughed about in the comic book as well, but it's actually a serious comic. It's really kind of interesting. So it turns out in the land of comic books, turns out that mentors are actually a lot farther and fewer between than you would imagine. And you know, sometimes you get things like schools. You get, you know, like the X-Men have a school. But the tricky thing here is that in order to mentor, you know, one superhero mentoring another doesn't really work all that great because, you know, you can't necessarily transfer your own unique superpower to this other person, so you can't say, hey, here's how to work with this particular superpower. So that doesn't happen all that much. And quite frankly, the other thing that was pointed out to me is that training montages in comic books aren't all that interesting. As this person I mentioned before says, you know, you can't really play Eye of the Tiger in the background when such and such is training up. But you do have sidekicks. Now, sidekicks are typically used as plot devices, especially earlier stuff. You know, they're used as ways for the superhero to explain what was going on. They're used for ways the superhero to say, well, you know, Robin says, well, how did you solve that? You know, that sort of thing. And they're usually plot devices, but they're a little problematic, which is why they sort of started to phase out a little bit. The first one is, there's this weird thing where somebody with superpowers decides to have a random non-superpowered teenage boy follow them around. You know, it's not exactly the safest thing. You know, superhero rushes into, you know, dangerous crime scenes bringing their Bucky, you know, and I mean, you know, Bucky was Captain America's superhero. You know, Bucky would come along, you know. Now, doesn't that sound a little problematic for those of you who have kids? I mean, the other thing that's also tricky that people start to ask is why exactly are these men bringing along their teenage sidekicks in very tight pants? And I, you know, like I personally think, like I'm all for gay messages in all the comic books and stuff like that, but this flipped people out, especially, you know, back in the day when they were trying to find reasons to have people stop reading comic books. So, now the other thing I would also mention about mentors in comic books is often people, when you see mentors and their sidekicks split, there's usually not a lot of stuff about that. Usually the mentee says, I can't stand being under your thumb anymore, and then splits off, and that's it. Like, there's no long back and forth, let's process this sort of discussion, as you would hope. There's you know, it's just like, I can't stand it anymore. Or the other possibility is that somebody who's junior gets promoted to a more senior role, but always usually within the senior group. So an example in the X-Men is when the individual X-Men get promoted by Professor Xavier to being team leaders, I guess you could say. I don't want to say too many things about X-Men for fear of getting it wrong, having spoken to somebody who got it really right when I talked to him. So the other problem I want to say that you get into when you get into mentors is something that was pointed out to me, which is the time problem. You have this problem when you get this teenage protege because you have two choices. Time doesn't really pass in the same way you would expect in a comic book, okay? Because watching a superhero age is not something that people are interested in. They're really interested in having this superhero stay the same age and battle things at the same age. And so watching them grow up happens few and far between. You know, and so you have this question like, okay, if the kid is never going to age, what do we do when we think he should have aged? Well, sorry, you're out of the comic book often. And here's an example. I just want to get these dates right. So for example, if you think about Spider-Man, he started out in his teens in 1962. He graduated high school in 65. That's okay. He graduated college in 1979. For those of you who are counting the Verizon tables. Yeah, you know, is it a problem to get out of college in 14 years? Not some of my grad students don't think so, but, you know. And then he's been in his late 20s, early 30s ever since. So you have this interesting situation. Oh, I want to also say one other thing that also goes on is about superpowers. There's an example that I mentioned up here about the school and X-Men. One of the ways that people also increase their superpowers is by organizing other superheroes. Professor Xavier is the example. Yes, he's got a big brain. Yes, he can do telekinetic things. But really, a lot of his powers comes from the fact that he's organized a school and a group of people who can do great work. Do I have to make the Sysadmin Bell noise again for you to realize that I'm making an analogy here? Okay. So let's talk, if we might, briefly about Sysadmin superpowers. Okay? Because I figure that I've been talking not enough about superpowers, so I feel I have to do this. So I need you, if you would please, to name this sound. And hopefully this will be loud enough. Ready? Okay, hands up. Who knows what that sound is? A lot of people here. Okay, I want to see if I can get really precise, but let's see. I need to go someone way in the back. Can you yell it out to me? Yeah. Okay, that's just uncanny. So that was, in fact, a Western Digital hard drive crashing. Yes, indeed, those were the heads. How did you know that? Yeah, exactly. That's scary. So I just want to point out to you that superheroes do exist and they walk amongst you. There they are. So there's just an example of one Superman superpower. We'll talk about Superman superpower. We'll talk about them in a moment. In fact, I want to show you something that will relate to Superman superpowers, and I'll explain why in a second. I don't wonder how many of you remember this. Okay, I would like to know, just for my own curiosity's sake, how many people in this room remember that? How many, so some of you do, and I hope I've just given you a little bit of a thrill. I know you probably have forgotten it, but really, this is if you're not looking for heroes, you know, you're not going to find them. So why am I talking about Electra Woman and Dinah Girl? Well, Electra Woman and Dinah Girl were women and a girl, but a woman, well, anyway, who were superheroes, and the way they had it is they were wearing these very big digital watches. I don't know what else to call them. They're called electrocomps. They were these big chunky things on their wrists with buttons. I swear they were buttons taken from, you know, some bad set. And when they wanted to do something, they would push the button on their electrocomp, and a laser beam would come. Hey, let me get this right. They would have electric change to allow them to change from their civilian clothing to their other clothing. Electric beam, you saw in that particular one. Electric degravitate, they could fly. Electric force shield. Electric G, electric split, electric strobe, speeds the worst motions. Electric vibe, which, you know, they didn't really shove that much, but it would have, anyway. Sorry, we'll leave that alone, shall we? Electric vision and electric vibe. Anyway, back to our regular scheduled program before I get too distracted. The electrocomps would periodically get upgraded. They would, as far as I recall, they looked a little bit to me like those little pegs in a light bright, and they would slam a different module in every time. You know, Frank would say, "Hey, I've invented blah," and there you go, you had electrofreeze. Okay. Now, I want to assert that that is actually very similar to us, because quite frankly, technology gives us superpowers. Okay. And this is maybe you've thought of this, maybe you haven't, I don't know. Here's my canonical example. I own a GPS unit. I don't have it with me. I won't tell you the brand. I am very dependent on it, but with this thing, I now don't get lost, or at least not for long. This is a superpower as far as I'm concerned. Because in the past, my spouse will tell you, after she watches this, that I have this uncanny ability to pick the wrong way to turn when we're going somewhere. So if someone says, go left or right, and I say right, you always have to go left. It's the negative. And the problem is if I start to think about that, then I psych myself out and I can't really pull it off. But in general, I can't, for the life of me, get places, you know, like I pick the wrong way for some reason. Magnetic pole squished in my brain. And so I want to say that this superpower has been worth it to me, like, several times over. I want to also point out that the apps, so here's the thing. I own, you know, one of these cute little devices. How many people do as well? Just out of curiosity. Okay, how many people have any device that for which there is an application store of some sort? Yes, the vast majority of you, right? So the thing that I like about the App Store is that every once in a while it helps me, and the apps that I look for are those that help me upgrade my superpowers. All of a sudden, now my device can do this. All of a sudden, now I can find the vegetarian restaurants around, which isn't a heck of a superpower, but if you're a vegetarian, it comes in handy. All of a sudden, I can, not very exciting, I can use it as a level. You know, now I can make anything I want to straight, which is, you know, level man isn't all that exciting, but, you know, when you need it, it's great to have. the problem is that it's a little bit like Batman's utility belt, in that I have always have this quest and this addiction to, like, what is the next superpower I can get? So, you know, what is the next thing I can make this do that will be a superpower that will enhance my ability to do stuff? Are there examples that you guys can think of superpowers that various pieces of technology that you use give to you that you didn't have before that you're excited that you have? Please. Say it again. Wikipedia, right? The ability to know everything that other people could put in and then correct and then put in again and then correct. Yeah, right. All the way in the back, please.
D-Trace.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's thank Brian for the ability to see into the mind of the thing you're running until, of course, gets bought by Oracle. Anyway. Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
IMDb.
Yeah, the ability to know every movie there ever was, right, in theory. Yeah. Yeah, instant communication across the world. Isn't it amazing? I mean, I know I sound like whoa, telephones, you know, but the fact that all of a sudden my phone can, like, for free communicate with anybody around the world is just amazing. Yeah.
Action at a distance.
Let me think about what that is. Are you saying SSH?
In a simple case, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Other examples of superpowers that you have personally enjoyed receiving from your love with technology? Yeah. Say again?
Transit tracker. Or if you don't take traffic, real-time traffic.
Right, real-time traffic and stuff like that. Absolutely. I mean, like, it's phenomenal. We can know what the traffic jam is like. Steve?
Control over my hundreds of minions.
Control over your hundreds of minions. You know, back in the day, you could just sort of bang a drum, you know, for that. So I don't know if that's all new, but yeah. Yeah.
Control
over his hundreds of millions. Shoe insoles. I do believe you have to explain yourself.
They give me the ability to stand for long periods of time.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying that your shoe insoles give you the ability to stand, so you're like standing man.
Yeah. Long standing man.
Not standing, yeah.
Weather prediction,
right? I mean, you know, like I don't know if you've noticed this. Like, can you live without that anymore? You probably could, but yeah. Augmented reality apps, absolutely, because this reality means anyway, go ahead. Yeah, I'm not going to make fun of that. I agree, yeah.
High-res digital cameras.
High-res digital cameras. Tell me why you think that's a superpower.
Ability to document anything or be able to see something that you can't see.
Yes, exactly. Right, the ability to document or see things that you weren't able to see. Dan.
Photoshop.
Have you guys seen the new one with the delete key thing? You know, like the context-sensitive deletion? It's just eerie. All the way to the back, and I'll come over to you next.
Robots?
What about them?
Yeah, yep,
absolutely. Agreed.
Noise, sorry, what?
Sorry, you walked into it, Doug. Absolutely, noise cancellation. I agree, like this stuff. Yes? Satellite views. Yeah, right? More. Oh, yeah, let's do more. Keep on going.
Penicillin
is pretty cool. I'm all for penicillin.
Cron jobs.
Cron man. Or woman. Sorry, I don't want to. Cron girl? I don't know. Yeah. Say again? Yeah, light from a screen. Absolutely. Let's go over there. Tom. Right, text messaging, the ability to communicate in a noisy party. But, you know, I don't think that's... all you have to do to learn is American Sign Language, right? And then you'd be fine. Yeah?
Emacs?
I was just waiting when the arch nemesis VI man would show up, but there it is. I got you, Doug. Yeah.
Instant translation.
Instant translation, absolutely. Yeah.
Spouse location.
Interesting. I haven't told her about that one. Yeah.
As you do, the ability to assume a superpower for a limited time.
Yes, excellent. Yep, Sudo, absolutely. David?
Children entertainment.
Well, you know, maybe. I'm not quite sure. Yeah, I guess pick your technology. That's true. Paper help with that. Yeah, go ahead.
Selective time reversal.
Say more about that.
Being able to revert changes to systems
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yes. Source control systems, right? Like, who doesn't use that name? Yeah.
Shopping without a mall.
Shopping without a mall. All the way in the back, please. Packet analysis. Yes, what? I mean, I'm just thinking in the 1800s, how did they do that? Yeah, exactly. Very slowly is the right answer. Doug.
The big red button.
The big red button. Yeah, that's either good or bad, depending on which way you look at it. Dr. Strangelove. The root password. Is that a technology? I don't know. Well, wait a second. What's your root password? I was just kidding. Okay, sorry. All the way back, please. Say again, please. Streaming music, absolutely. You have no idea how much I like that. Yeah?
Relatively unlimited memory.
Relatively unlimited memory. Sorry, what?
I work with hierarchical storage systems that CERN's dumping that 20 gigabyte pipe into.
Right, absolutely right. So you have the ability, right, so cheap disk, you know, et cetera, like that. Okay, I'm going to do one more. Yes, sir? Say again?
Asymmetric encryption.
Asymmetric encryption is what you said?
Yes,
absolutely. Okay, so these are some examples of this sort of stuff. Now, I think these give us powers far beyond those of mortal men, quite frankly. But I want to point out that this stuff, that in addition to just using, having all these powers, that sometimes our superpowers as sysadmins are contextual. So let me tell you what I mean by that. So this is a picture of my grandmother. She died about 7 years ago, and she used to live in Florida, and I used to really love visiting her. And whenever I would visit her, she would put in front of me all of her digital watches and all of her friends' digital watches and ask me to set their times. She would take me to other people's houses, and she's like, hey, you have a digital watch, right? You know? And this, you know, and I want to say, you know, and I miss her terribly, and I want to say, and I miss those times terribly because it was great. That was such a great superpower. I was the one state person in the state of Florida, at least in Delray Beach, who could set digital watches, right? And so sometimes, superpowers are contextual. You know, Superman is only super, you know, under the yellow sun also, which is not exactly Delray Beach, but you get the idea. Sometimes it is. So it is sometimes contextual. Okay, so this is all lovely, but aren't there problems with superpowers? That's the question. Aren't there some problems associated with them? Well, the first question is, does it get boring? Because I have sat here and listened to various people talk about how sometimes they're getting bored with sysadmin stuff. I'm not going to try to read all of this. In fact, I chopped out. So here's the problem. Captain Marvel used to have a very racist depicted sidekick called Steamboat, if I remember correctly. And so I have cut out some of these more racist depictions out of this particular comic, just in case you're curious where they're going. But so this says, Billy's total of what I do last month for all sounds rather dull in the form of statistics. So he stopped 678 bullets, 7 cannon shells, 5 safes that dropped, 18 runaway trucks. So he's saying, this is all getting really routine. Now, this is boring. I wish you could have had some real excitement. All I see ahead is another dull day. So again, more stuff where somebody drops a safe on his head, and he says, "Oh, thank you, Captain Marvel. You saved us. You do such thrilling things." Thrilling? Oh yes, of course, ma'am. And he's really thinking, "Wow, that's let me make sure I get the right number here. That's like the 8th safe I stopped this month. Just as I said before, this is a dull day." And he's going along, and he's walking down the thing, and there's his sidekick that you can't really see. But one of Captain Marvel's many hate-filled enemies ambushes him in the alley. Dull day for him, is it? I'll liven things up for him. This new special triple trillion int shell will blow him to shards. What? And there he is. He says, what? Impossible. Not even scratched. Am I ever really? So he beats him up and he says, he takes him to jail and says, just book this person not on attempted murder because it was just, there's no way he could have killed me, so don't worry about it. And he says, that's just like the 7th, that's the 8th cannon shell I stopped today, that's just this month. And then a little kid walks in front of a truck, and only he can do it, the world's mightiest mortal stops the used truck dead and saves the child. And he says, thanks, I would have killed the child. Oh, that's okay. It's like the 37th child I've saved today. And the building falls, and he picks it up, and he says, that's boring. And really, the exciting thing at the end of the day was he gets to go fishing. So superheroes get bored, too, is what I would say. It doesn't happen that often because it's hard to write a superhero comic where the superhero is, just bored all the time. But the other thing that's also important to know, and again, for sysadmins, I think it's important to know as well, is if you seek power, as somebody that I consulted on this particular talk, who was absolutely fabulous, Alex Benton, said, as an almost universal rule, anytime an existing character receives a dramatic upgrade in power in a short space of time, it leads to disaster. I don't know, maybe you've seen that happen at work, by any chance? And another example of this, and which is where this, by the way, those are Dr. Doom sneakers, in case you're curious what I'm putting a pair of sneakers up for. You can't really see the logo, it looks really cool, and I'd love them. So Dr. Doom is another example of a character, strangely enough, that always is seeking power whenever he can get it, but strangely enough, when he gets cosmic powers, he seizes the power, but he can't seem to hold on to it before something really bad happens. And I think that's a reasonable thing to mention. There are some other problems that go along with superpowers. For example, powers can get out of control. There's the case of Dark Phoenix in X-Men, if you're familiar with that. The Hulk is an obvious one. And basically, all the Hulk comics, as something I was reading, you know, all are about sort of the human stuff. Like, because if you've got a super powerful person that is as powerful as his anger, that's really boring. But if you give them some humanity, it's more interesting. Captain Hero is interesting. Anybody here know who Captain Hero was? Is there anybody in the room? Because that was obscure to me. I hadn't heard of it. This was from Power Man and Iron Fist, which is a comic book we all followed, right? And it turned out that Captain Hero was originally Bobby Wright, who was a kid who was infected by an alien spore, and he has all these superpowers and the ability to transform. The problem, of course, with this is that the more he used his powers, the worse his cancer got. And so there are a whole bunch of different storylines where the more somebody uses their superpowers, the more they kill themselves, which is an interesting thing. And I wanted to say that sometimes powers can get out of control. Like, anyone familiar with the Facebook outage of September 23rd, 2010? Yes, we're right. What happened? Anybody remember? One person? You waved. What do you remember? No? So that was a case where one of their automatic monitoring systems got out of control, right, and took down the site because it kept on trying to fix things and then fix its fixing things and stuff like that. I wanted to show you Sorcerer's Apprentice from Fantasia. Can you raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about when I say that? It makes me happy to see that. I would have showed it to you, but you don't F with the mouse. So I didn't want to show you something that I thought might be problematic. Even, you know, fair use means they tell you what fair use is. I've talked to Disney before for talks like this. So anyway, that's one of my favorite pieces of film because I think it's an example of what automation is about and what can happen with automation. Also, sometimes powers fail randomly, but that doesn't happen that often because it's kind of boring to have. Writing a comic book where sometimes your powers work and sometimes they don't, not so exciting. But so that happens to things like Spider-Man. Oh, and here's another little quote that I really like from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, which is, what does Superman do between phone booths? Now, another problem with superpowers is it's not so good for the spouse, really, of the person who's got the superpowers. I want to show you something from a semi-obscure BBC series called My Hero. People here from England know what My Hero is? It's not a very good series, in my opinion. At least the initial ones weren't. This is the scene where the superhero, whose name is Thermoman, in his secret identity wants to date somebody that he saved before. So he takes this person out to dinner, but then for a reason has to leave suddenly, she is left standing there high and dry at the restaurant. And then after that, this happens.
Oh, it's Harry Houdini.
Can I come in?
George, it's very late, busy day tomorrow, and you'll never credit it. I've just been stood up by the phantom spaghetti sucker of Collini.
Please, let me come in.
You just left me, George. Why? And please don't give me some silly excuse. I want the truth.
I had to save Belgium from total destruction.
Pathetic.
No, please, let me show you something.
What are you doing?
Won't be a sec.
If you show me what I think you're going to show me, I'm calling the police.
The
It was a pleasure to save the life of such a beautiful woman.
Well, what do you think?
You are Thermo Man.
Ta-da! We're going to have such fun. Look what I can do.
This is not fun. Granny!
It's yours, but just for tonight.
Stop. I can't take all this in. I was just getting to know this sweet, slightly odd Irishman. Suddenly it's like being with a maniac.
What do you mean?
You saved my life. That's powerful stuff, but...
But what? I don't understand.
You're not... normal. You don't have your roots here. You don't have your work here. You don't even have your dessert here. Look, what I'm trying to say is...
You're not interested.
No, I'm saying you're not what I thought you were. Thermo... George, I'm an ordinary girl, and it's great when the circus comes to town, but no one can take the circus every day. I'm sorry. And those were my grandfather's ashes.
So, occasionally you have this situation. You know, being in a relationship with a superhero is a little problematic. Now, I want to point out it's not so good for the spouse. I'll explain what that thing is at the bottom. The best example I can give you of why it's not so great for the spouse is this Larry Niven story, which, how many people know this one? How many people don't know this one? Let me try that one. Okay, so this is a fabulous essay which you can find out if you look, Google for it, called Man of Steel, Woman of Kleenex. And in this particular story, which is not necessarily for children, it is a discussion about how it's why there's no way the Superman could get on, could get it on, so to speak, with Lois Lane. Thank you. I was missing Lois Lane. And all, it goes through all the reasons. Here, let me give you one small part of it. This is actually talking about the act itself, but I'm going to leave stuff out so that there's not a problem here for kids in the room. It says, lastly, he blow off the top of her head. Ejaculation of semen is entirely involuntary in the human male and all other forms of terrestrial life. It would be unreasonable to assume otherwise for a Kryptonian. But with the Kryptonian muscles behind it, Kal-El's semen would emerge with the muzzle velocity of a machine gun bullet. And as a footnote, he says, one can imagine that the Kent home in Smallville was riddled with holes during Superboy's puberty. Why didn't Lana Lang never notice those? Anyway, so there's one problem. You can only imagine. It's a great essay. Really, go read it. It's hilarious. And as, again, my friend Alex Benton says, frequently the role of the human spouse is to die, usually horribly, to motivate the hero. Now, this turns out to be really, really true, so true that in 1999, Gail Simone, I don't know how to pronounce her name, quite frankly, who is a fabulous comic book author herself, put up a website that you can go find called Women in Refrigerators. And what that's referring to is that Green Lantern's girlfriend at a certain point gets kidnapped by a villain, killed, and stuffed into a refrigerator. Now, she wanted to, and this is only in 1999, sorry, it's like partying, like, yeah. She said, well, let me see if I can, for fun, record all of the deaths of the females in super stuff. So, multiple personality disorder, paralyzed, dead, murdered by her abusive husband, tortured, made infertile, depowered. I can keep on going if I want. It's this huge, huge, huge list. And so being a super heroine, or being even a girlfriend or a boyfriend or stuff like that of a superhero turns out to be a dicey thing. Don't tell your spouse this. So, okay, great. So now we're starting to edge into the darker side of things. Now we're starting to talk about ethics. We need to start talking about superhero ethics because superheroes, by nature, are morally tricky on so many levels. I have read a good 5 books on just that topic. Ethics, you know, philosophy and Batman, philosophy and other superheroes, other stuff like that. I'll give you other examples at the end if you want to go read this stuff. So there's so many stuff like I was just reading, you know, yesterday, should Batman have killed the Joker if Batman knew the Joker was going to kill again a lot? Other questions are, what about Batman? Batman doesn't seem to be associated with the rules. Like, if you guys think that due process is cool and that you're supposed to have a warrant when you break into things, Batman doesn't really follow those rules. Is that okay? Is it okay that we have something outside of the law? Should there be something out of the law? There's just so much stuff on this that I don't have any time to go into right now, but I really, you know, if you want to talk to me about superhero ethics, I'd like to talk about that. Here's a lovely comment that was in one of the Slashdot things that said, for the vast majority of people, the most heroic thing they could do if ever presented with Superman-like powers would be to immediately reject them. Because basically, and it went on to say that a real human presented with such powers would likely be a much greater threat to the rest of humanity than a help. Sure, he might start rescuing cats from trees and people from burning buildings, but how long before he has a mood swing or a temper tantrum? How long before he succumbs to narcissism and the kind of arrogance and paranoia that godlike powers would bring? How long before he comes to resent humanity for not loving him enough or worshiping him at the level that he has come to believe is sufficient? And in fact, there's an entire comic book by Mark Wald called Irredeemable that's about that, about the Plutonian, you know, the Plutonian who goes on a rampage against, and people try to stop him, has absolute superpowers against the world because he feels he isn't appreciated enough. It's a great comic book. Here's another Alex Benton quote. Superman can be almost anywhere on Earth in an eye blink. So how can Superman allow ongoing crime? Terrorism, starvation in Africa, anybody anywhere being sad? You know, so that leads us to the question of responsibilities, superhero responsibilities. With great power comes?
Responsibility.
Right, right. And where is that from?
Spider-Man.
Exactly. Very nice, very good. Did everyone who didn't say that out loud know what they said? Should we say it again? No? You guys are a rough crowd. Alex had suggested to me that perhaps that comes from Luke 12:48, which says, from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. I don't know. I'm not a biblical scholar, and I couldn't tell you if that's where Spider-Man got it. But it could be from Luke. So the question becomes, if you have this great power, do you have to use it? Is it required of you that you use this great power? And in fact, there's a great comic. So let's get into Astro City, if we might, for a moment. So Astro City is a great set of comics that's all done now, and you can go get them in and stuff like that, done by Kirk, I can never pronounce his name. Can someone pronounce his name for me? Busiak. Okay, thank you. So Kirk Busiak did these great comics, and in it he talks about wanting to write comics. So it's about basically a city where superheroes are there on a regular basis. They live there. It's part of their normal life. And he says he always wanted to write something about what was it like for the people in the town that had the guy that stood up and said, look, it's Superman. What was it like for that person? What was it like to live in that town? And so it's just a fabulous, fabulous, more nuanced playing around with superhero memes, and what does that really mean in real life? The very first story is one about a character called the Samaritan, which is obviously meant to be a little Superman-like. And the Samaritan's whole shtick in this particular comic book is he spends all of his time trying to save people faster, trying to get his rescues done wherever they are in the world as fast as possible so he can get to the next one. Does this sound vaguely familiar to anybody here? So I recommend you read it. I just can't recommend this highly enough because it was when I came back to comic books for this talk and started reading it. This was one of the ones that sort of struck me. This whole series is just phenomenal. So how does Superman cope with the fact? And there's a whole thing in there about, you know, he couldn't possibly go out to dinner with someone because, you know, there's all this stuff that isn't that isn't being covered during that time. And then later on, there's also a storyline about him getting in with another superhero, and all the other superheroes agree to cover for them so they can actually have dinner together. It's kind of cool. But here's another quote that I kind of like also, that's also along that lines, which says, power without self-discipline is either just wasted or it's dangerous. Okay, and I want to leave that with you as something to think about for yourself. So here is perhaps one of, I have a few really big quotes that I want to give, and I'm going to read this to you also. It says, we ourselves should exercise great care if we are ever tempted to put on bright tights and a mask and call ourselves by a different name. Every mask leaves an impression on the person who wears it, and any mask may eventually become more of a reality than we ever imagined. Who we are is always a matter of how we act, and what we become is the result of the activities we engage in day to day. If that's hitting a little home, I hope so. Just to think about that as you know, as you go off in your sysadmin career. And I don't leave you sort of, when I say stuff like this, that this is deep with nowhere to turn to figure out how to cope with this amount of power. One place you can go is this. The System Administrator Code of Ethics. Are you all familiar with this? Is there anybody in this room who is not familiar with this? I'm sorry, it's probably, everybody in the room familiar with this Code of Ethics? Have you read it? Yes? Go read it again, okay? It's really good. We have a lot of people, Lee Damon and others, to thank for an amazing code of ethics. And if you're not paying attention to this as a system administrator, as a way of gaining power and understanding how to wield it, personal power, how to deal with stuff, you should. I'll give you another quote here, which goes back from someone a little earlier than Lee Damon. This is from Seneca, the Roman philosopher, who said, just a little bit, says Lee, choose for yourself a moral hero whose life, conversation, and expressive face all please you, then picture him to yourself at all times as your protector and as your ethical pattern. There's another tool you can use as you're trying to figure out how to do this. So I know I've been a little bit of a doggy downer in this last couple of slides, so let's talk about why be a superhero. Why be a superhero at all? And I guess by extension, why be a sysadmin? Well, studies show, and here's one of them, called Moral Transformation, Good and Evil Turn the Weak into the Mighty. And you can go get this by Kurt Gray. It's a lovely PDF, stuff there, that shows that if you, in fact, so let me tell you a little bit about some of the things in this study. So what this person did is, we'll use this moose as an example. This person had somebody hold a heavy object for a period of time, and at the same time had them compose either a story where they were evil or a story where they were good at the same time. And then just a general story didn't have either one of those. And it turns out that if you're doing something like that, not for the control group, you can actually hold things longer if you are imagining yourself helping another person or harming another person. Now, it turns out in one of the studies, of course, if you were harming you can hold it for just a little bit while longer, but they asserted that's not as significant. They weren't trying to say, become a villain to have personal power. But this was the conclusion that's in this paper that says, in sum, doing good does more than just make us feel better. It gives people the personal strength to act more effectively and better achieve their goals. Of course, this research suggests that doing evil is also a route to agency, but whether one seeks to be an angel or a devil, there would appear to be power in moral deeds. So it's kind of interesting. For some reason, people tend to get a little stronger when they're doing things in moral stuff. Okay. Another possibility would be if it's a calling, and I know it's another long slide with a lot of stuff, but it's pretty good. This is if you, there's been a lot of research done about how people, when they are in a job, behave when they view that job as a calling. And here's one of the things about that. Research on the effects of approaching work as a calling is only now emerging. So far, this research has yielded generally consistent results. People who approach their work as a calling tend to report higher levels of positive characteristics, for example, life and job satisfaction, work commitment, and lower levels of negative characteristics like stress and depression compared to people with other approaches to work. And there's a reference. This is the case despite the fact that people are pursuing ends other than their own individual comfort or happiness. So people who are doing this as strange enough, as a calling, even if it's not directly to benefit them, tend to report that they're happier. I think that's true of the people in this room. Also, I want to point out that you folks have the ability to fight the good fight. These are two pages, I'm not going to read them, from Action Comics 101, Action Comics number 1, which was the first one that had Superman in it, the very first one. Now, Superman was an interesting character for a number of reasons, but in this particular one, the villains that Superman were corrupt politicians. And there's a whole storyline that goes on into two about this lobbyist who Superman finds and then shakes down to find out who's actually paying and was working against political corruption. Did you know Superman's first enemy was political corruption? Bet you didn't. I didn't. Okay. One last big thought to give you before I sort of work our way out of here. And this is a quote that I have removed a few things from to make it, I'd say, religious agnostic. Like, to make the atheist happy, to make people who don't believe in stuff happy. I denuded it a little bit. Go get the original quote if you want. It says, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? Your playing small does not serve the world." And that's the one thing I want to give you as system administrators for the end of this talk. So just for your information, if you want to learn more, there are a bunch of books about this stuff. I've read all these. I can tell you which ones are good. And I want to just thank Alex Benton, Michael Burke, who owns Kamikaze, which is a local comic shop near me, Eric and Ethan, who all talked to me about this talk. And that is the end of my talk. Thank you very much for listening. Have a safe trip home. I really appreciate you listening to this. And take care and be a little super when you go home, okay?